response.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
Showtime. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Are you ready?
Here we go. Ready.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
Jeff has made a life of being himself, and look what it's got him. He's on a TV show at 12:30. You know what they used to put? Beep at that time.
Jeff Lutz.
Here's why I've gone vegan. It's not really like the milk or the eggs themselves. It's what milk and eggs are put into.
If you ask me, that stuff rots your brain.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Stand by for action.
Good afternoon, everybody. It's the Bob and Jeff Show here on KFH Radio. Bob Lutz, Jeff Lutz with you. A Monday edition. We've got NFL to talk about. We've got some college basketball. The college football playoffs start soon. We all went with the bonus pick of Army, and they let us down.
Did either of those bowl games get played? I didn't want to lower myself
Memphis,
to checking.
Memphis, West Virginia, I don't think is – I think it might be today or tomorrow. Cal UNLV is not until Wednesday.
Okay.
But a lot of points on that Army-Navy game.
We all missed
it. And we all missed it.
We're all in the same boat at least.
Yeah, but you and Duda just don't want to run away with this
thing. What happened to Army? I thought they were good and Navy was falling apart
Navy's
a little bit.
Navy's good.
Apparently. Army doesn't have a bowl opponent, or they left, and now they got Louisiana Tech. I'm surprised KU wasn't mentioned for that spot.
You know, imagine how hard it is to put together a team to play in a bowl game after you've checked in the equipment. Well, the only reason Louisiana Tech's doing it is because the bowl game's right where they are.
Makes sense. But didn't Marshall, like, win its conference?
Yeah, and they had 25 players get into the transfer portal.
I guess that's what comes with success these
days. That's why college sports sucks.
You either are really good and you transfer, or you're really bad and you transfer.
It's not good. Not a good situation. What'd you do over the weekend?
Nothing. Watched some football.
Didn't watch the finale of Yellowstone, I take it.
Didn't watch the premiere of Yellowstone. Got into No Good Deed a little bit. Ray Romano and Lisa Kudrow last night. It was okay. I'll probably continue it.
What's that on?
Netflix.
Huh. We watched the Greg Maddux profile. It's been out for a while on MLB Network. Boy, it reminded just how amazing that guy was.
No doubt.
Unbelievable. I mean, I knew it at the time. We were all in awe of him and what he was able to do with no higher than 93 in the fastball realm. But he hit every spot he wanted to hit.
You have to be about...
had a cool thing on, too. They had him with an iPad in one location.
And Barry Bonds.
And they had Barry Bonds with an iPad.
Yeah.
Don't spoil this.
I've seen that clip a lot. It was
Barry
very
Bonds with an iPod in another location going through his at-bats against Maddux. Fascinating.
Yeah, two of the smartest players to ever live.
Now, with Maddux,
he had to glow.
He needed light.
He needed
Bonds didn't need
neon
it.
Neon ball.
In fact, the director just said, "Okay, light guy, you're off."
Yeah. Someday that joke will get old.
It never will. Will
you,
it?
Or you will? One
do
of
you
two.
Love it?
No.
Do you love it as much as I do?
I like.
You're smiling.
I'm a fan of Barry Bonds.
But you kind of like that, don't you?
No, it's predictable. I said it before you did.
I found a way to work that in on every reference to Barry Bonds.
Well, it's the same reference. There's no. It's not like you need to twist and turn to make it happen. It's the same. It's the same thing every time.
You'll miss that when it's gone.
You think so?
Yeah.
I'll probably never think of it again.
You never think about what's my dad going to say about Barry Bonds?
No, I know what's coming, so I don't need to think about
how's he going to fit it in or how's he going to make it seamless?
Mm-mm.
That was seamless.
It was fine. It's been done, but it was fine. Or it was fine, but it's been done. One of the two.
Chiefs get another one. They did cover, but they're getting hammered for their second half strategy, and it resulted in Patrick Mahomes tweaking an ankle. They've got three tough games remaining, and they're all played in the span of 10 days. And you wonder now how much Patrick Mahomes, you'd love to be able to just say, Patrick, shut it down for a week or two.
That's what they should do. Aren't they two games? Well, they're kind of one
Buffalo's
game up.
Buffalo's on their tails now. I know it's two games, but Buffalo has two games with New England and one with the Jets.
It's really one game.
The Chiefs have they have Houston, Pittsburgh, and Denver. So if they were to lose two of those games, which is in right, that's in the realm.
It's possible.
Both the road game, the games at Pittsburgh and Denver, they're on the road.
That makes sense.
And if they tie with Buffalo, they would have to go through Buffalo in Buffalo. I don't want that.
Sure. I don't think anybody would.
What are the Chiefs going
to
do?
I'd find a way to limit or sit Patrick Mahomes either Saturday or on Christmas. Probably not Christmas because you're going to have the Netflix audience and the NFL would never allow that. But take it easy on Saturday.
What if they won Saturday? Then you definitely, well, no, they could still. This is not over.
It's not over, but it's not over.
It's not over. It's not over.
The Chiefs have every advantage here.
Except a much tougher schedule with a lame quarterback.
So,
and I don't mean that in the term that he's not good. I mean that he's got a bum ankle.
So Kansas City has to lose two, and Buffalo has to win all three.
Buffalo will win all three.
Most likely.
That's a given. So the Chiefs have to figure out how not to lose two of these next three games.
I don't know. I'd still Carson Wentz, he can win you a game, right? He can go beat
Houston. Can he beat Houston? Boy.
Houston's not good. And we saw that
what
because
do you mean Houston's
Miami
not good?
Is really not good. And they didn't really handle
well,
Miami.
Well, you picked Miami.
Yeah, that was dumb.
And you only picked Houston for two. So you can't have revisionist history here.
It's not revisionist history. That's how little I think of Houston. Is that they're not good, but I don't know if they can cover against Miami.
Well.
Who's not good at all.
We all picked Cleveland. I picked them
yeah,
for
I wrote the Chiefs eight. Down and changed it. Which
well, you went with the crowd.
Yeah.
And I meant to pick Kansas City.
There's a world where Cleveland wins that game yesterday. It would have to involve Jameis Winston not being Jameis Winston. But he made as many mistakes as he usually makes. And Kansas City took
poor
advantage.
Poor Cleveland. The poor Browns. They just are so nothing.
They don't have anything.
It's too bad.
Why is it too bad? They put themselves in this position.
Yeah, it just
you could have rolled with
me.
Baker Mayfield and been a playoff team just
by
about
the way,
every
Baker
year.
Baker Mayfield. Watch out for Tampa Bay.
He's good.
Nobody talks about them.
They're kind of just hanging out there. They just only recently took the lead in that division. Atlanta has tanked, and now Tampa Bay's that team. And they are dangerous in the postseason.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if you can speak for that.
Would you say they're not?
Well, I would, but I can speak for it.
Why?
Because I well, I didn't watch much of the why wasn't the Detroit-Buffalo game on in our market yesterday?
Well, you know exactly why it wasn't.
Is that a CBS
we have,
thing?
Of course.
Did you get a lot of calls out there?
I wasn't there, so I don't know.
Back
but
in
I'm
the
sure
day.
We got an email at least, one of those that I saw.
I mean, obviously we're going to get the Chiefs, but that was the early game. Why didn't we get a late game? The late window was on Fox.
We got a late game.
Who?
Denver and Indianapolis.
You sure that was on?
I watched it, so it must have been.
Why do we get that game?
Because it's regional. It's more regional than the other one, and there's Denver fans. Now
what are we, a bunch of idiots?
It's not my decision.
Well, make a call out there.
I don't think that would do anything.
Do you have to Does KWCH have to go with what the network gives us?
Of course. There is a big map that someone sent. I'll see if I can go back and find this.
Well, I'm not happy with it because I would have much preferred watching that game. I got Seattle Green Bay over on Fox.
How do I send this many texts? Yeah, we were in the red area, barely out of the red area, which was Buffalo and Detroit. Most of Kansas got that game, or some of Kansas. And then Western Kansas and the Mountain States obviously got Denver.
I'm not a Denver. I don't need Denver.
And New England, Arizona was New England and Arizona. Those are the regions that got those games.
By the way, Bucky Irving, who has him in fantasy?
I'm not sure.
Somebody must.
Is Virgil?
I beat Virgil.
Did you
like
handle
that.
Virgil?
Virgil, if you're listening, don't mess with me right now. I got this guy named Josh Allen. He's a wrecking crew.
I think we might be destined to meet in the championship game.
Well, I'll kill you.
I don't think so.
Unless they rest. Well, they won't be resting Josh Allen. And he'll be, the numbers he'll get.
You know, I got Lamar Jackson,
the numbers
right?
He's going to get against New England and the Jets.
Maybe not. They'll be up 21-0, and then James Cook. I wouldn't like that game. I'd want a shootout like we've had the last 2 weeks.
Well, you can't stop anybody either.
You're in some trouble. But I got to go through Duda, which should be a cakewalk.
Oh, Duda's coming for you. I love it that you and Duda are meeting in the semifinals.
Sure. All three of us made it, though. That's kind of impressive.
Well, we got a bunch of bozos out there in the league. No offense to any of you if you're listening.
No, absolutely not.
Well, I mean, I only call them bozos.
Yeah, it's not a bad... Very hurtful.
Not a bad reference. But anyway, I feel good about my fantasy team. I'm not completely out of it in the picks yet, only because you and Duda won't put anybody completely out of it.
Did we both get negative points this week?
Right now you're at -2, he's at -3.
So we've got
a shot. Only the college games left, and you've only got 4 points.
And he's probably got 3.
On the board, he's got 3.
So he can finish at 0. I can finish at 1?
Yes.
I love it. Anybody else negative?
Max has got 6 points so far, and he's got 9 out there.
All right, that's something.
The big fella has 11, and he's got 5 out there. And I've got 9, and I've got 6 out there.
So somebody can finish in the teens.
Well, we'll see.
Not great.
Boy, when you miss that bonus pick for that many points, it kills you.
Takes you down.
It's hard to recover from it. I don't know why you people bet 10.
Because I have to. Duda does. I don't think that was the spirit of what you wanted out of the bonus game. I don't think you wanted just everybody to go 10 all the time.
No, I don't want that.
I don't want that.
But there's no – Duda doesn't have a strategic bone in his body.
No, he doesn't think it through. He just goes 10. So then I have to go 10, usually on the same team, so I don't lose 20.
Well, that could be the downfall for both of you.
Could be. Maybe I'll start to strategize a little bit more. Because following Duda, while might pay off for a week or two, eventually is going to turn on you.
Eventually it's going to bite you.
Exactly.
869-1240, the IHOP hotline. IHOP, the breakfast partner of Xbox. And we invite your phone calls here on a Monday at 225 today. Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com, a frequent guest, a friend of ours and a friend of our show, will be on to talk some K-State sports. Their basketball team, I'm going to have to start paying some attention to.
You think so? Because they're playing Wichita State?
Yeah, I haven't watched a second of K-State basketball this year.
I watched their game against St. John's, and they had a really good first half because they shot the ball really well, and then that went away.
I'm going to have to – they have somebody – oh, they have Drake. When is that game?
Tomorrow, I think.
In Kansas City, right?
I don't know that.
Well, look it up.
Fine.
That's a very interesting ball game. And then on the 21st, coming up Saturday, K-State, Wichita State at Coke Arena. Right? That's Saturday?
Yes.
And your dinner is Saturday?
Well, my dinner is at 5. I think that game starts at 6, so.
Well, good grief,
man. Most of the time, those dinners don't go very long. Yeah, it's at the Sprint Center tomorrow.
Not the Sprint Center. What's it called?
That's what it says on, it's the T-Mobile Center.
Why in the world are you having a birthday dinner the night of the K-State-Wichita State game?
There's also the Chiefs play, right?
Well, now you're just, I don't know if I'm going to go to your dinner.
Well, they play at noon, so you'll be fine.
Are you sure that Wichita State-K-State game is 6?
Pretty sure. That's why I didn't schedule it for 6.
Well, that's just awful.
But you'll be fine.
Not really.
Well, then don't come.
I may not.
We got a lot of people. I don't know if we'll have room. Everyone said yes.
Everyone said yes.
Yeah, we've got 12 in the mix.
Well, what would it do if we didn't come?
Well, it'd make things a lot more fun.
You know what? If I didn't come and my wife didn't come, that thing would be the snoozer of the year, man.
Please.
You got to, in the other 10 people, if there's a, if you could put a 100 personality person, you know what I'm saying?
Let's hear this out.
If I'm 100, which I am in personality, clearly. The other 10 are barely 40.
Combined?
Together.
Uh-oh. I don't think that's accurate.
Well, Nate, who's going to be the life of that thing?
It would be me.
Oh, God.
I'm so funny.
I about fell asleep just...
Well, then, again, no need for you to
be there.
You
know what I'd rather do?
Sleep?
I'd rather watch a fly go up a drape than be around these people.
No, they're all very fun.
They, of course, know I'm kidding. We look forward to the birthday, number 42. They just
crazy?
Keep rolling through.
42 years old? What is that?
When your mother and I brought you home from the hospital... I don't think either of us could have thought we'd still be around when you were 42.
Well, she's not.
She's not, unfortunately. But, I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, I don't think you were thinking about the year 2024.
But I have friends I went to school with whose parents are still alive.
What? How is that even possible?
I don't. It's because people sometimes live into their 90s.
And I've never heard of that.
You've never heard of anyone in their 90s?
Never.
Isn't your grandfather in his 90s?
Not yet. He's 48 years old. I mean, must have turned 90 this year, or 89. I can't.
Well, if he's 48 years older.
But he just had a birthday, so I'm pretty sure that was his 89th.
Well, some people live that long.
How old did our Aunt Mildred?
I think she got into the late 80s.
Yeah, at least.
I'd have to go back and look. I mean, you can't just ask me these questions.
Just asking, not necessarily needing a concrete answer.
My aunts were named, and this tells you what people named their kids in the early 1900s. We had Mildred.
Sure.
We called her Aunt Millie.
I remember.
We had Aunt Phyllis, who wasn't biologically my aunt, but... emotionally was Phyllis,
right?
Called her Aunt Philly.
I don't think that happened.
What do you mean, Aunt Philly and Aunt Millie?
Millie and Philly,
right?
That never happened.
I called her that.
You didn't. Every time you referred to them, you said Millie and Phyllis.
Well, yeah, but you know what I mean.
Mill and Phil.
I had an Aunt Esther, who was born in the year 1900.
Not a surprise.
And who I got to spend quite a bit of time with as a very young boy.
I assume that was your mother's.
That woman was awesome. Just so fun.
Is that your father's sister?
Yes.
Yeah, it makes sense.
And she lived over in Douglas, Kansas, and was a teacher there. She was a business teacher. And she had this little house there close to the school. And, you know, Douglas isn't a very big town. And I just loved being over there. And then my other aunt was Aunt Fern. And
I know her.
She did very well. Her husband did very well in life.
Was that also your father's sister?
Yes. Well, I had others on my mother's side who were uncles and then one aunt. Quit doing that.
Sorry.
That kind of stuff irritates me to no end.
Well, you're going to have to figure.
Quit fidgeting.
So,
Quit kicking my furniture.
I wasn't. There's a hockey puck down there.
Quit doing that.
Okay.
It's distracting.
Anyway, Fern.
Yes, she married Tom Kenton, and he did very well. And
in
she,
what industry?
I don't know. Business of some kind. And at the end of her life, she had accumulated pretty good money and left it mostly to the Salvation Army.
Yeah, that's a worthy cause, I suppose.
Did you ever visit Aunt Fern?
Yeah, I was there a couple times.
I know you were there as a youngster.
That was it.
You
took me there when you went to spring training in Arizona, and she lived in Arizona.
She lived in Sun City, Arizona. And funny person.
We went to a Phoenix Suns game.
Yeah.
Remains the only NBA game I've ever attended.
All right, there's a little run through my history. You know everything about me, man.
I know.
You should be thankful that I'm an open book. I got a few secrets I'm going to protect. Time for a break. Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com, will join the show next. We'll get a little insight into K-State basketball. They're preparing for a bowl game. We'll find out what that means to K-State as well. Back in a moment.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
Here is Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com. K-State basketball has an interesting game tomorrow night at the T-Mobile Center in Kansas City against Missouri Valley Conference powerhouse, Drake. Fitz, welcome, and Merry Christmas to you. And if we don't have you on again before Christmas, I hope your holidays are good.
Well, I hope they are, too. I'll be in Phoenix for a bowl game, so I'm sure it'll snow, and I'll get lots of presents from my employee, Ryan Gilbert.
There you go.
Look, everyone kind of poo-pooed this game when they saw it on the schedule, you know, about Drake being the big game in the T-Mobile Center in Kansas City. Well, as we get here for the game tomorrow night, Drake's clearly the better team. They've got a list of good wins. They've got a first-year coach who has, you know, had similar portal success that Jerome Tang did in his first year. And I think Ben McCollum's doing an amazing job. And this is a really important game for K-State. This is one they don't want to lose on many levels.
Yeah, you know, you talk about the portal success that Jerome Tang had in his first year. Not as much the second year. Thought that might be a strength in this year. But it's been kind of up and down. Coleman Hawkins, the big money man, hasn't done a ton. Brendan Housen has been good. Achor is no longer with the team. How would you early, obviously very early, grade out the transfer portal job that Jerome Tang has done this year?
I think talent-wise, this is a pretty good team. They just haven't found their common footing, working together. And maybe, not that Achor was the problem, but maybe limiting more person from the locker room will help? I'm not sure. They've got things they have to figure out in-house. They've got things they better start applying to the basketball court. And we've seen them do it. We've seen them play at a high level in some instances, including in the first half at St. John's, and then it just came apart. So I think there's a good team lurking in there, but we're going to see if the players and the coaches can get that team to perform on a regular basis. And as of now, there's that strong evidence against that, but we'll see how it all shakes out.
And it's we're talking with Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com. All the K-State news you could need or want at GoPowerCat.com. You should subscribe if you're a K-State fan or even if you're just a fan of college sports. So this is a big stretch. K-State has Drake. We talked about that game. They come here to Wichita to face the Shockers on Saturday night. Then they open Big 12 play with Cincinnati, who has played very well. They're obviously a legitimate team. How many of these games does K-State need to win to ignite or keep the fan base, what's the word I'm looking for, intrigued?
I think the answer should be three. I think they should win them all if they want to keep this fan base engaged and intrigued. But I think two would do it, and don't ask me which two, because I don't think fans would be happy about losing any of them, not recognizing that Cincinnati is really good this year and might be a real problem even inside Brahma's Coliseum. Again, the biggest enemy of this team is itself, is its inability to get beyond where it's at right now, and it should be a better team. And whether that's the players or the coaches or the whole system, I don't know. But until Kansas State defeats its own demons, it's not going to defeat many teams.
Yeah, who do you kind of expect to evolve into this team's best player or go-to guy? That seems like something they're missing, and I guess there's not anything necessarily bad about a different guy playing well from night to night, but do you think they have that guy on the roster right now?
Yeah, they do. I mean, they've got some guys that can really fill it up. I think Doug McDaniels is the obvious first choice for that. Coleman Hawkins is a casual scorer. What I mean by that is when he gets going, he still looks casual about it. But he doesn't get going enough. He's not assertive enough on that end of the court. And when he starts to assert himself, I think K-State's pretty darn good. And that includes the first half of St. John's when he didn't really score. He rebounded and fed the ball to Brendan Housen, who was on fire. He did an incredible job of focusing the offense around Brendan Housen, as did his teammates. But I thought Coleman Hawkins was really good at that. At the end of the day, that's kind of what they're lacking. What are we trying to accomplish on this possession? And when someone like Brendan Housen is on fire, that's an obvious answer. When he cooled down in the second half, they didn't have an answer. So someone's going to have to assert themselves on a regular basis. And I just feel like if he keeps himself on track, that's Doug McDaniel.
Tim Fitzgerald, our guest. We're talking K-State. Let's switch to the women. They're 11-1. KU's 10-1. TCU 10-1. West Virginia 10-1. K-State's only loss is to nationally ranked Duke. But their schedule hasn't been, I guess it hasn't been full of big-name teams. Where do you think K-State women are right now? How good is this team? We know last year that we all thought they were on a Final Four trajectory. They had some injuries that kind of got in the way of that. What's the upside ceiling for this team?
Very similar. And, they went into the portal and was recruiting, addressed some of the inabilities when Aoka Lee was hurt. The Poindexter young lady, she can ball, and she doesn't need her out there to do it. Which has, been an issue for K-State. Who gets the ball when she's not on the court? Well, now they have an obvious answer. This is a really talented team, and now their next step is to perform at a high level when they're in those games, which they've done against Iowa for whatever reason, and Caitlin Clark, and haven't really done in, you know, consistently against any other opponent. So I think now is the time. Either this women's basketball program asserts itself as a national and Big 12 power, or it just kind of remains a really good program. I mean, really solid program in both counts, but not knocking on, you know, national titles door and not consistently being the one that everyone chases for a Big 12 title. That's the next step. If they get there, they're going to be set for a while because this staff can bring in talent and put it together pretty well.
Just to go back to Saturday's game real quick, I guess from a bigger picture standpoint, do you expect the K-State-Wichita State series to continue after this four-game agreement? What are the circumstances that maybe would enable that to happen?
Well, I think one of the things that Kansas State probably would like is getting the Big 12 basketball schedule back down to 18 games. They went to 20 this year, and the coaches feel like it's just way too much and affects their ability to kind of schedule some tougher games in the non-conference. But even with that, I would hope that this game is a series is something they just start back over, exactly what they did last time, and let's start this back over, maybe get into a better rotation, you know, K-State, Wichita State. But I'd love to see it restart. I think this is an important series. And don't give me the nonsense that K-State has more to lose than Wichita State. K-State's got a lot to gain by winning this game Saturday.
Couldn't agree more, but I've banged that drum for a long, long time. I can get K-State to listen easier than I can get KU to listen, which is a lost cause. But, oh, well. Let's switch gears to football. Tim Fitzgerald with us. K-State and Rutgers in the Rate Bowl coming up the day after Christmas. Rate that bowl for me.
This is a good opportunity for K-State. You know, the thing I love about the Rate Bowl is this is the fifth time K-State's been in this bowl game, and all five times it's had different names. So there's a consistency about that is really kind of cool. It started with the Copper Bowl. This is the Copper Bowl that eventually moved from Tucson to Tempe to Phoenix. And I think this is a good opportunity for K-State to do the same thing they did last year. And last year was obvious a transition to a new quarterback. But they're going to have a new running back for this bowl game, and they're going to have some new players out there. I really see most of these bowls now as, they complete the season before, and they kind of offer a reward for the final step. But the best players are opting out typically. I mean, if they're going to the league, most commonly they'll sit the game out. So bowl games have really become, if you're not in the playoff, an extension of the season coming up, you know, to get you prepared for spring football, kind of get some answers heading into that where players are at. And maybe those players can better understand where they sit as they come out of one season and head into another where they're at the depth chart.
I think that sounds appealing on the surface, but can you get fans to buy into that concept of, okay, this is an early look at 2025?
You know, I think the day of these bowl games and their importance to fan bases are done. The playoff has ended that. And now, can you get a fun trip? And, you know, will fans go see Rutgers and Phoenix? I doubt it. I think it's going to be a really small crowd there. Plus, the game's on December 26th, which is a major issue for a lot of fans. But I would say Iowa State's going to take a lot of people to Orlando to face Miami. I mean, I think that catches their attention. But I think the heyday of bowl games, even when smaller bowl games meant a lot to programs, I think that's just kind of passed on, and it's just not going to be the same from here on out. And I personally, this is an idea I haven't really pitched out there, that I think most of these bowl games need to be shut down. If ESPN wants some inventory, then play a series of games in Vegas and, you know, Atlanta, easy places to get to, fun places to go, Nashville, and just put a product out there and quit calling them bowl games. Just make them postseason games. I just think the bowl game thing is dead and gone. And they lost me when they kept changing their names and selling out to sponsors. You don't really cherish your own tradition like you say.
Can you go through some of those changes that K-State will have on the field for this game? Because admittedly, that's hard for me to follow, especially in December, while the most important part of the season is still to come.
Yeah, you know, on the offensive side alone, you're going to see different running backs. You'll probably see a lot of Joe Jackson and Dylan Edwards. And the cool thing now about bowl games is it's same with like championship games. They're not part of your four-game count for a redshirt, so everyone could play in this game, which is a good rule change because that ties into exactly what I just said. Maybe there's some guys that weren't ready for the first, 12 games, and now in bowl prep are showing that they've come a long ways, and you've had a receiver leave, and maybe you let one of those young guys get out there. So I think we'll see new receivers. We'll certainly see a new running back, as a starter. We'll see a new right tackle for sure, maybe some other shuffling along that line, and I think defensively you'll see maybe less departures, but you're going to find out real quick what the depth is at cornerback now that they're losing one of their young guys out there or one of their guys out there. And I don't know who will step up. They're really short in corner. That's an area where they've already addressed once in the portal, and I expect them to go back and revisit that.
We always appreciate your time and your willingness to come on our show, Fitz. Thank you. We'll talk to you after Christmas, okay?
You bet. Thank you, boys.
Happy holidays.
GoPowerCat.com. We enjoy getting our K-State fix here on the show. Taylor Eldridge from the Wichita Eagle. He covers Wichita State athletics and most notably Wichita State men's basketball. Shockers went to DePaul in Chicago on Saturday, played a good first half, lost night by 19, not a very good second half, especially defensively for the Shockers. Taylor, hello, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, I appreciate it.
Yeah, you bet. So where are we with Shocker basketball at this juncture? They have a good record. I think we've seen them play well more often than not. There's some pieces on this team that I think are very good pieces. But in a couple of tests against maybe two of the better teams on their schedule, they have not answered the bell well. Where do you think the Shockers are?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of tough to tell. Like you said, 10 games in, the 8 games that, they're – quad two, quad three, quad four, they've taken care of business. And then the two teams that are, DePaul is going to be a borderline quad one. But those quad one games, yeah, you lose by, 15 plus, 20 DePaul, and then Florida, got way out of hand. So, yeah, I mean, it's tough to tell. And, we're not going to find out too much more, tomorrow night against Kansas City. K-State on Saturday, that's going to be an interesting one. That's going to be another kind of data point for this team. And, I think they're certainly better than they were last year. But, yeah, I think they're just not to that point where a lot of Shocker fans want them to be. And, yeah, I mean, it is a little frustrating because, they got off to that 8-1 start. And, if they would have won that game at DePaul, now you're kind of, you're putting yourself in position to be in that mix come March. But, you lose that one by 19 in runaway fashion. And that's that's a tight game with, 13 minutes left. And to get outscored by 19 the last, down the stretch, very disappointing performance because I thought WSU played really, really well, for those first, 25, 30 minutes.
What did you think it was, if there was much of a talent discrepancy between DePaul and Wichita State? And maybe it wasn't talent, maybe it was approach, because I think DePaul just kind of went into the valley and got some shooters, and now they're shooting. And Wichita State, I don't know, could they have done that? Is that a better approach than what Wichita State is doing? They took some threes, but that's not really their game. They haven't shot well for several years. Are they going at it the right way, in your opinion, Wichita State?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'd have to go back and really research this, but kind of my gut instinct tells me, when they moved to the American, this dates back to the Marshall days, when they first moved to the American, they felt like, you know, WSU coaching staff, they felt like they had to upgrade the athleticism, upgrade the athlete that they were getting, and they kind of sacrificed shooting when they made that move to the American because they feel like they, you know, they have to be able to defend, and, you know, it just takes a higher caliber athlete in the AAC, and, you know, that's kind of, you know, that first year in the American, that was the last great shooting team that Wichita State has had, and, yeah, it's kind of crazy. You know, you look back on, you know, it's been 6-7 years now of, you know, either average or most times way below average 3-point shooting. And, you know, this DePaul team, you know, I don't think it was, you know, a talent discrepancy. I think they just made a ton of shots. You know, I think in a lot of cases, if Wichita State plays like that in the first half, you know, they're going to be up by, you know, 10, 12, 15 points. But because DePaul made 11 3-pointers, you know, it was, I thought WSU played incredible the first half, you know, to be up by 5 at halftime against a team that made 11 threes, you know, that's very hard to do. And obviously they just ran out of steam. The second half was a different story, but, you know, that's a different game. You know, if they do have that 12, 14, 15 point lead at halftime, well, now they have, you know, some room for a cushion for some of that DePaul hot shooting in the second half. And that's, you know, a different game. But, you know, that was just one of those games, you know, 17 threes by DePaul. That's going to be hard to overcome, you know, for WSU. And they played really well. And then, you know, they hit a wall there in the second half. And, yeah, I mean, I think it is a little demoralizing when, you know, you get down by 6, 8, 10 points, and you don't really have the 3-point shot to turn to. So I do think that impacts Wichita State, especially when it gets down in games, because it just it makes that uphill climb even tougher.
Talking with Taylor Eldridge, beat writer for Wichita State Athletics for the Wichita Eagle, Kansas.com. I wanted you to go deeper into Quincy Ballard. You're into analytics. I'm more old school. I just trust my eyes to a large degree. This is a guy who has an amazing field goal percentage, but he doesn't shoot a lot. He did have 8 shots against DePaul, made 6 of them. Do they need to utilize Quincy Ballard more in this offense, or is he just a guy that's going to get some offensive rebounds, putbacks? What's your assessment of him as an offensive player?
Yeah, he has improved, you know, back to the basket. He has scored a handful of times this year, in the post, you know, with the post-up move. And, we didn't see that last year. Last year was strictly, you know, basically just, catching lobs at the rim. And this year he has added that to his game. And, yeah, I mean, I think it's obvious, you know, you have to, you know, the more Quincy Ballard in the offense, the better it's going to be. The problem is, you know, how do we get him looks, you know, if you're Wichita State? And that's to, you know, the point earlier, you know, they don't have the 3-point shooting. So teams are able to really crunch down in the paint. And, you know, when he's coming off those screens and rolling to the rim, you know, there's just not a lot of space to operate because, you know, defenses are able to play off and, you know, what's called tag the roller, basically, you know, providing help defense when Quincy Ballard rolls to the rim. You know, there's always someone right there in the way. So, yeah, I mean, the lack of 3-point shooting plays a role in that because, you know, if this is a team with great shooting, I think Quincy Ballard, he might be averaging, you know, 15, 16 points because he would have, you know, wide open lanes to the basket way more often than he does. So, yeah, I mean, I think you have to try to incorporate him more, but he's also not a guy that you can just throw it to in the post and say, hey, go get me, you know, 4 or 5 baskets. He can do that every now and then, but, you know, obviously his bread and butter is going to be in the pick and roll game, catching lobs. And, you know, they try to come up with, you know, creative ways to create space and create like empty side, you know, places for him to roll to, but, you know, it's just really tough when the defense is so geared toward, you know, if we take away this, you know, they're not going to be able to beat us, you know, shooting jump shots. So that's kind of the challenge facing WSU. But you're right, you know, more Quincy Ballard, you know, more efficient offense for WSU.
So, you know, Ronnie DeGray has been out, And I don't know if it's coincidentally, but in that stretch, Wichita State has played its two worst games. Is he an X factor? Do you see him maybe not making a difference as far as wins and losses go in those two games, because they were pretty one-sided? But how much of a difference does a guy like that ultimately make?
Yeah, I mean, I think, yeah, Florida, you know, he's not going to make much of a difference. I do think in the DePaul game, he could have been a pretty big difference maker, because, you know, WSU, they can go small, you know, especially against a DePaul team that was shooting, you know, all five spots on the floor were shooting. You know, you can put Ronnie DeGray at the five and switch everything on defense, and that's really going to clog things up. You know, where WSU's defense has gotten into trouble is, you know, when they have, you know, the five men involved, you know, Quincy Ballard, Mate Bozniak, those guys are usually, you know, in drop coverage, you know, away from the three-point line. And when their man screens, that's when, you know, other guards can get an advantage on the other team. So if you have Ronnie DeGray in one of those spots, you know, I think he does, you know, make a pretty big difference in that DePaul game. And he just does a lot of just little stuff that, you know, it doesn't necessarily show up on a box score. A lot of the rebounds do, but, you know, he's just always – he always boxes out. He's very physical on defense. A lot of the stuff he does on defense doesn't show up in the box score. Kind of similar to, you know, what we saw Dexter Dennis do. You know, obviously not the perimeter stopper of Dexter, but just like the little things, like pushing guys out of the post, always being in good position, boxing out. A lot of those little stuff that doesn't show up. So Ronnie DeGray, very valuable to this team, and he just adds some toughness. And I think that's what's missing right now with WSU. And, you know, he could make a difference in that regard.
Taylor Eldridge, our guest, I got one more question for you, and it involves this game coming up Saturday night at Coke Arena against Kansas State. Crowds have been not good, to put it mildly, for Wichita State basketball this year. This is going to be a big crowd. How important is it for Wichita State to win this game Saturday night?
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge chance for them to win back fans. And, you know, there's going to be obviously a lot of K-State fans, a lot of, you know, K-State fans here in Wichita. They're going to come to the game. But, you know, a lot of WSU fans that, you know, wouldn't ordinarily go to a game in today's age, they say, hey, this is a, you know, a big game. I want to go to the Roundhouse, you know, Saturday night and catch the Shockers. And, you know, this is a chance to impress those fans. And I've written about this before, you know, it's not just about winning. It's about, you know, the style that they play, the manner, you know, the toughness, the grit. You know, I think WSU fans have really been missing that over the last few years. You know, we've seen teams, get off to good starts, win games, but, you know, I think they really miss those days of, you know, playing angry, to use that, you know, that old phrase. But, you know, I do think that WSU fans really appreciate that style of basketball, that brand of basketball. And, you know, I think if they can get back to that, you know, winning loose balls, you know, playing tough defense, I think fans really appreciate that instead of, you know, winning these games, you know, 90-84 or something like that, where, you know, there's not a ton of defense or rebounding. So it's a big chance for WSU. I think at this point, you know, if you ask the team, I mean, I don't think they care about style points. They just want to win this game, you know, especially going into conference season. This would be a huge boost for them. So, yeah, I mean, this is going to be the most well-attended game, probably the Paul Mills era. You know, I don't know if it's going to get to sellout status, but I do think there's going to be, you know, 9,000 at least. So, big chance for, you know, the Shockers to, you know, leave an impression on their fans Saturday night.
Wichita State 8-2. They have Kansas City coming up before Saturday when they face Kansas State at Coke Arena. Taylor, always appreciate your time. Have a Merry Christmas.
Thanks. You too. Bye.
Thanks.
All right, Taylor Eldridge from the Wichita Eagle. We'll be back. We've got an hour left, Jeff and me, and you'll want to hear it. Stay with us. The Bob and Jeff Show, KFA.
Showtime. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Are you ready?
Ready.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
We're getting Ricky Skaggs on this show. Remind me? You really don't know Ricky Skaggs.
Jeff Lutz.
Son of the late, great Boz Skaggs.
You're funny.
I'm so funny. It's almost hard to bear.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
I am so totally turned on right now. I could speak.
Welcome back, everyone. Hour number two, the Bob and Jeff Show, KFH Radio. Bob Lutz, Jeff Lutz with you. Max Power is producing and engineering the show. 869-1240 is the phone number. As we wait for the next domino to fall in Major League Baseball, we got a rumor out there that, you know, anytime I get a rumor.
Well, rumors are.
Chandler Rome from MLB.com reporting that the Astros are hot in pursuit of Nolan Arenado. That's intriguing.
Did he use those words?
Yes. Let's get back. We'll talk some more baseball. Here's our friend Ralph, who may not want to go by that name with the subject matter we're going to talk about here shortly. Ralph, welcome. How are you?
I'm fine. You can bust my alias if you want. That's fine.
Well,
you'll continue to be Ralph. Okay,
For the purposes of this interview, you're Dave Holly, the longtime and esteemed Wichita Collegiate tennis coach, and you are being inducted into the Kansas State High School Hall of Fame. And we want to congratulate you on that. We're very happy for you.
Well, thank you very much. It's an incredible honor, and I'm actually pretty overwhelmed by this. Those are the people that are, when I've looked at the names in the past that have gone in there, and they're phenomenally successful. So I'm humbled and honored to be included in that, and looking forward to that process. So it'll be good.
Yeah, as I said, when my dad told me about it, if you're going in, it must be the first class of people to ever go in. I don't think that's the case, but long overdue, I would say, either way.
Quit sucking up.
I said it when he was not here, so I'm allowed to say it when he is here. But do you have to be not coaching actively anymore to go in?
Well, I think the rule is that you have to be not actively coaching or having been in the job for 30 years or longer. So I think that's either one, I think, is probably would have been okay. So, but yeah
you checked
being
both
out
of those
it a couple
boxes.
Of years has been nice. But now.
So I don't know that we've ever asked you, Ralph, about tennis. When did you get interested in tennis? Were you a really good player yourself? How did you become a tennis coach? Take us through that.
Well, when I was in high school in York, Nebraska, our town was kind of a tennis town, but I hadn't really participated. I was more baseball and basketball, but we got a new basketball coach my freshman year from Kansas, by the way. In fact, his son played at Wichita State, Kevin Penner, and my coach was Lee Penner. And he decided that if you weren't playing football or running cross country or playing tennis in the fall, which were the three sports, then you had to do preseason conditioning. So I went out for one day of preseason conditioning, and I hated that. It was lifting weights and running, and I thought, well, if I'm going to run, why don't I be on the cross country team? But I didn't like to run that much. So the tennis team happened to be in a little bit of a downturn, and I played recreationally a little bit. So I went out, and my freshman year, I was probably toward the bottom of our list, but I got better at it. My sophomore year, I made top six. My junior year, I went to state tournament in doubles with my partner. And in my senior year, we actually won the state tournament. In Nebraska, it has a different format. You send one player. Every school sends a singles player and a doubles team, or they did in the day. And our singles player won the title, and my partner and I finished second in doubles, so we beat all these large schools that were around us, and kind of a big surprise. And so I thought, well, this is pretty great. And then when it came time for college, I went to a small junior college for 2 years. I played basketball and tennis, and by that point in time, tennis was kind of taking over my life. So then I switched to Harding University in Arkansas, which was quite a bit bigger, and just played tennis there. But when I got out, and I was I played pretty successfully. When I got out, I had no intention of coaching anything, and tennis was not on the list at all. And when I came to Wichita, really the main reason I came to collegiate was because they were looking for somebody who not only could teach biblical studies and American history, but could coach tennis, and that was my hook. I had no experience, and I learned so much from other coaches around that were just so smart and, and willing to help me, and that was probably the beginning of it. And I really didn't intend to stay in it forever, but I just, the more I was in it, the more I loved it, and been in a school that supports it, and that's been the greatest thing.
It's a good story.
There's my story.
Not bad at all. Yeah. I must pass along the congratulations of one Jason Duda, who wanted me to share in this celebration. So that's, you know, that's the message from Jason.
That's got to be the best yet for you, Dave.
It is, yeah. His girl is just a hoot. I mean, I've only really talked to him one time in person, but I see her all the time.
Congratulations.
If she's not playing, yeah. I see what you're saying, yeah. But she's amazing. She's been a lot of fun to be around, and keeps us in line when we were running tournaments. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, what did you learn as a coach? I mean, how big of a difference was there between your first year at collegiate and your last year as far as your own knowledge, your own techniques, the way you presented that information? I had to imagine that for someone that successful, you probably sought out growth opportunities quite often.
I've said this and they're incredibly honest about it. There are people out there who are so much smarter about this game than me and really have technical knowledge that really I love to steal from. I think my biggest thing was probably enthusiasm and a desire to build a program and be willing to stay with it a long time and start young kids out at it. But I, from the very beginning, I saw coaches that were successful at what they did. I worked for 4 summers at Riverside when Daryl Snyder was the pro there. And I mean, every day I went home, I felt like I'd learned something, first of all, either about the technical end of tennis. And I was a decent player, but I mean, he was an All-American at Texas. And so he knew so much more, and he taught me how to work with kids and really kind of be a good coach in the middle of a match. So there was all that. But then when I first got in, there are a couple older coaches who, one guy was a guy named Buck Balzer at Bueller, and then a guy named Ron Dawson at Smoky Valley. And these guys were probably 40 years, 50 years older than me, but have been successful for a long time and had large programs and kept the interest going for those kids and whatever. And they kind of became the people I looked to for advice, the people I looked to for this is how I'd want my program to be known. But one thing from the Dalston guy, every time they competed at our match, every single kid would come up at the end of the day and thank us for hosting. And our kids, that's one of the first things I put in, you know, that when we left the tournament, we told the hosts, hey, thanks for having us, because you didn't have to, you know, there are other teams out there. And so picking stuff up like that has really been, I think, maybe pretty important to me. But also, learning later. I mean, I learned some stuff last 5 to 10 years that I hope made me a little bit better coach, even at the end of my time. And I think that's important too.
Longtime Wichita Collegiate tennis coach Dave Hawley is with us. He goes by the undercover name of Ralph for radio purposes. You're going into the KSHSAA Hall of Fame with several others, one of whom is former South High soccer coach Klaus Kolmai. And I got to tell you, I've made a living out of pretending I hate soccer. But back in the day when Klaus, well, I don't hate it. I don't love it, but I don't hate it. Back when Klaus was coaching at South, I loved talking with him and did so frequently. Do you know Klaus at all?
I've met him twice. And the second time we probably talked for 5 minutes, he probably doesn't remember it. But one thing I did follow him. I'm not a big soccer guy myself, but we've got friends who are like immense soccer. I mean, they in 94 when the World Cup came, the USA drove to Dallas to watch games there. And so I knew of him kind of through them. And I always noticed that, first of all, his teams were always competitive. But it wasn't just his teams. I mean, he was talking soccer up everywhere. And I think there's probably a lot of coaches out there who would say, you know, the biggest thing that ever happened to us was that he kind of, you know, created this, at least one of the very few, created this aura of soccer in Wichita is a great soccer town. I mean, a great junior soccer town. These kids are excellent. They play all over the country and do well. This boy from Northwest a year ago was one of the national coach players of the year, and I think he's playing for Auburn now. This is pretty amazing that what the town's becoming. I think Klaus has a huge part of that, very big part of it.
All right. Well, congratulations again. We're very happy for you. We feel like we should get a little chunk of the statue. I'm not sure why, but we feel that way. Congratulations.
Well, if I get a chance to say something, I'll be sure to work you into the speech about the things that the way you've contributed to it all. And you do, and Jeff does remember, I gave him a ride home from a tournament one time because I think his car broke down or something. So I think he owes me a little gas money still, if I'm not mistaken.
Probably so. Way yes,
that's quite a story. I hadn't heard that. I don't believe.
Have, but okay. We'll tell it again.
All right. Thanks, Dave.
Okay. Well, thanks
we'll
for
talk
having
to you
me.
Soon.
Okay.
All right. There's one of the good guys, Ralph. I'm happy for the guy. That's a great honor and one that he most assuredly deserves.
Absolutely. And he did give me a ride home.
I just saw
very early on in my Eagle career, my first year.
What happened?
I didn't have a working car. I think you had to drop me off. As like Heston or something, and then he brought me back.
Was I on my way to another game or something?
I don't know. But you set it up for Coach Hawley to take me home, and probably the first time I'd ever met Coach Hawley.
Well,
I wonder conversation was like.
I'm sure you had a great conversation.
Because I'd just been broken up with, too, the previous evening. That was good.
Who broke up with you then?
The lovely young lady that went to see fireworks with us.
That wasn't the sprawling eagle situation, was it?
No, that wasn't the sprawling eagle situation. That was not that.
Why'd she break up with you?
I don't know.
What was the...
Because I was showing interest in someone else.
Is that were you?
Yeah.
Well, no wonder. That's terrible.
It was a short... I was 18.
Did the showing interest in someone else amount to anything?
Nope.
Who was the someone else?
Her name was Rita.
Rita?
Yeah.
Well, that's too bad.
She was a softball player. She went to West High. I'd known her from Hadley Middle School. I went to her house once. They were having church in Spanish. Thought it was a good experience. And then that was basically it for Rita and me.
Never, nothing ever came of it.
That's correct.
Did you ever make it known to Rita that you had interest?
Oh, Rita knew, and Rita had interest also. I don't know why it fizzled.
Well, I wouldn't be happy if I were your wife right now.
Because I had interest in another woman 25
years
ago?
Yeah, I don't like it.
Oh, okay, well, I'm sure she's extremely offended.
You don't hear me talking about...
No, never.
All the, not all, the...
Right, the very select few, and not really select either. Kind of forced.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
Kind of forced. Well, see, this is where it bugs me.
What?
I'm viewed as the bad guy on this show. And that's just as nasty a comment as...
How is that nasty?
Oh, you kind of forced your way in on... No, I didn't.
No, absolutely not.
I no way.
Hey, I was just talking about how I got dumped. Everything's fine.
I don't recall ever getting dumped. Well, there's a couple times.
Yeah. Not ever, though. Just
well, a couple times I remember it.
Just four real main ones. Three, four? I don't know.
Don't worry about what I do.
Okay, I won't.
It's not any of your business.
I thought you said you're an open book. Just
what
20 minutes ago.
Gosh, I had something I wanted to talk about. Now you've made me forget it.
Well, you were talking about Nolan Arenado.
Yeah, but I just need something to happen.
It is nice when things happen.
dedicate your
attention. You know he's not going to be with the Cardinals. So let's make it happen.
Do you think, and it doesn't really matter, I guess, but has the relationship deteriorated?
No. Just, you know, he wants to be on a team that's going to win. The Cardinals aren't necessarily in that position right now.
Not really.
And I think the Cardinals want to put him in a position where he can win. I don't think there's any animosity.
I was just wondering. It doesn't matter if there is because
they're
breaking up anyway.
You don't want animosity.
No, you don't. But again, you got two entities that are not going to be with the franchise much longer anyway.
Who's that?
Mozeliak and Arenado.
Right.
So if they have animosity, big deal.
Well, they can deal with it later as far as I'm concerned. I'm not going to put myself in the middle of that.
Nor
by the way, I just see here that David Montgomery has been lost for the season.
Not
one
good.
Of my top running backs.
What are you going to do now?
Now, I got some problems there.
Yeah, because
Pacheco's, it's taken him a while. He's not been a big factor.
Well, he's not a bell cow guy.
Now, the kid from Dallas is pretty good.
Rico Dowdle.
He's pretty good.
He's good.
Astute move to get him, as was picking up Jonnu Smith from Miami.
He's been okay.
I've done a whale of a job with this
team. Well, again, I hope we meet in the finals. It'll be me and...
You've accused me in the past of not being engaged and not taking care of roster moves and I just obliterated Virgil. Virgil, why aren't you calling?
I feel like I have the best team. You probably feel that way. Duda probably feels that way.
This is a blow. See, when you lose... Look at all the running backs I've lost. McCaffrey, Pacheco, now Montgomery.
It hurts.
Those are three of the top 15 in the whole league.
That's why you got to be on top of things. Make sure you're making moves. Make sure you have some depth.
Well, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Make sure you have, when you see people getting dropped.
I guess Kenneth Walker gets back into the mainstream.
Like when people get dropped, like Ramondre Stevenson, why would you not go, I picked him up. But I'm like saying, like, why?
Well, I didn't notice he'd gotten dropped.
I've still got
Kenneth Walker.
Michael Pittman got dropped.
I don't need Michael Pittman.
I'm just saying there's these guys that you can find some value in even late in the season.
Well, I went and got Rico Dowdle.
Good.
Who had 149 yards yesterday. I went and got Brian Thomas from Jacksonville.
Heck of an effort. Two touchdowns yesterday.
Right. That's what I mean.
That's what you mean.
Why don't you give me some credit?
Still not going to outscore me, but not bad.
I'm not that worried about who I outscore.
You should be. You got Donaldo next round. What did Donaldo do?
Who's Donaldo?
Donald.
Who is that?
I don't know.
Well, I need to know who that is. I don't know who Donaldo is.
I don't know who it is.
It's Don Harms.
Okay.
Who I beat last time. He's our little Debbie salesman.
Oh, well, I hope he wins. If he wins, we can all have zebra cakes.
I think he owes me some. We'll take a break. We'll come back and visit about the NFL, some of the things we need to talk about. News earlier today that Jim Rome's show is moving
to win
to the 2-5 time slot.
Uh-oh.
On January 6th. That seems to be a time slot already occupied on KFH.
By Jim Rome.
Jim Rome is a plow horse. If we get in his way, he'll bury us.
That's what it seems like.
So, of course, we're always going to talk about things here on the show. Back in a minute.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
The IHOP Hotline, sponsored by IHOP. Come in and try our fully loaded French toast, only at IHOP. 869-1240 if you'd like to get in. We've got about 30 minutes more to go in the show today. Announced earlier today that Jim Rome is taking his show to a different time slot. That time slot is 2 to 5 Central Time.
What?
And our time slot is 2 to 4 Central Time.
Hmm.
And there seems to be some overlap. I doubt that the two shows will air at the same time.
Is that an option?
So there will be something has to give. And our program director, Tony Dusing, has notified us. And I don't think he wants to lose the Bob and Jeff show on KFH. But we're not sure how it's going to fit. Jeff has a full-time job at KWCH. I have obligations with League 42.
Full-time job.
2 to 4 has been the optimum time slot for us. So we'll see as we move forward.
We'll see. Machinations. I don't know what that word means, so I can't finish the sentence. But something to do with machinations.
What do you mean?
Like there's a machine, it's at work, something's going to happen.
That's a completely wrong use of that word.
It is?
Yeah.
Let me look it up. A plot or scheme.
Right.
So, yeah, machinations are at at work.
Doesn't fit.
It doesn't?
Plot or scheme.
Well, we have a plot.
Here's the thing about the Jim Rome thing. He gets good ratings. He's a national show. He's the biggest sports talk host, probably in the country.
No question.
When it comes to sports, for sure. And when he says he's going to move his show to a different time slot, those of us in that time slot at a local station get bulldozed.
Yeah, I'm sure we're not the only ones dealing with this potential issue at the moment. Probably plenty of others across the country.
Now, do I sit around and get angry about it?
Yes.
Well, for an hour. but my anger has subsided. And now I'm just, I'm resigned to the fact that either we've worked something out or we, on January 6th, cease to exist.
More likely that we'll continue to exist, though.
I don't know that.
You wouldn't have put it at 51-49 even?
No, I wouldn't put anything on it.
Huh. I would.
I got to make sure it fits for me.
Well, I get it.
No offense, but I'm the most important
guy. Oh, yeah. We also probably wouldn't have Duda.
Well, I don't know about that. I don't know what Duda would do.
Well, is he on this week at all?
Yeah, he's on this week.
What days?
I don't know. We'll figure it out.
I might have a thing on Wednesday.
Well, he's in for me on Wednesday because I got to take my wife.
I've got a.
I got to take my wife to a doctor's appointment.
Fine.
What do you have?
Staff luncheon.
I don't
Christmas
care about
luncheon.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. It'd be nice if Duda and the big fella could do it. Just do the show.
Well, let's find out.
You don't think the big fella could handle it?
I don't know. Could they?
The big fella has his own podcast.
He sure does. I've been on it.
Well, I haven't.
Like twice.
By the way, I've been asked to be on two podcasts after the first of the year.
What are those? Don't worry about it.
Yeah, I'll get back to you. It's nothing you need to worry about.
That's what I just said. You're very predictable in that sense.
When it happens, I'll let you know.
Yeah, maybe I don't.
I'll tell you, without this show, if that were to happen, I will lose. Nobody will want me on anything.
Right. So why don't I get asked to be on these podcasts?
Because I'm
better.
It's hard to quantify that, but I would just say, no, you're not. No, really?
No, I would.
Yeah, I would.
I would say that. I wouldn't not say that. I wouldn't.
It's not a competition, but if it was, this baby.
Well, tell me what the podcasts are, and let's see if I would be qualified for them.
A couple guys do a podcast. I think you've been on one of them.
Is it what's his name?
Josh Domebo.
Yeah, he asked me to be on it again, and I said yes, and he ghosted me. So great,
he got me.
Good luck with that guy.
He thought he wasn't going to get me, and then he got me, and then
he asked me like well over. Yeah, it was well over a year ago, and I said yeah. And
well,
I never
you'd say
never,
yeah to anything.
Never heard.
I was
on his podcast once, and I did great. And they asked me to come back. Yeah, I'll do it. Never ghosted.
Well, they said, "What?" His partner probably said, why are we getting Jeff when we could try Bob?
Do you want to be on the podcast of a guy who ghosted your son?
I don't care.
Wouldn't you be like, hey, clear it up with Jeff first.
How he feels about you has very little bearing on what I think.
Is that true?
Well, of course it is.
Huh, interesting.
I just said it.
Interesting.
Of course it's true.
Well, enjoy it.
Well, it doesn't happen. He may not want me.
He obviously does.
The show goes away.
This show's not going away, I don't think.
Well, now wait a minute. You don't have a clue.
I don't think it will. That's what I believe.
If you had to ask me right now, I think there's a better than 50-50 chance it will.
Really?
Yes.
I'll keep it alive.
What would you do?
I don't know.
How would you keep it alive?
Figure it out, man. I got to keep repping FanDuel.
You really think you'd keep it alive?
I don't know.
Who would be your first call to be your partner?
Jamin.
He works.
Yeah. Does he?
You think you and Jamin could do a daily show?
Oh, absolutely.
That people would listen to?
I think so. We'd catch on. Jamin would figure it out.
I appreciate the fact that you have confidence.
We did it for, and yeah, I wasn't even
a Saturday morning.
Yeah, and
show
I wasn't even good at radio
that
then.
Went up against, you know what was on the other station?
Sewing.
A guy, yeah, sewing, and a guy doing a garage sale.
But I wasn't even good at radio then. Now I'm awesome, and I could probably do it. But anyway, you'll be fine.
Nah, not with when you talk like that.
What did I talk like? You're the one saying it's going away.
You make it sound like I'm expendable.
You're scaring the listeners when you say stuff like that.
The listeners don't scare. And not one person is.
They want us to stick around.
Who texted you?
Nobody.
Same with me. Unless I get a text during the next commercial break. I'm resigning today.
Okay. Me too.
All right, there it is.
I better get that text. Stay on, guys.
To my text.
Well, I need one too, or I'm gone.
Really?
Yep.
Are we the most insecure people who have ever lived?
Top five, at least.
It's sad. Yours is legitimate. I'm just having fun.
Oh, yeah, mine's totally legit.
I'm just having fun with my
No,
perceived,
you desperately want a text. You want to be admired.
No, I don't want to be admired. I am admired.
Well, let's get that text then that
proves
it.
They'll be coming here shortly.
Yeah.
I know our friend Brian will text.
Yeah, that doesn't count.
I know my wife will.
Doesn't count.
Who else?
I don't know. Who counts?
Some random person.
Yeah, someone from a number I don't recognize.
There you go. All right, we'll take a break on that challenge. We'll see who gets the first text.
Not me.
We'll see if either of us get a text.
We'll see if anyone
cares. We can't make it up.
Correct.
I can't give our phone number. It's got to be in your address book.
You could give the show's number.
869-1240.
Without...
You could call Max and he could give you my number.
Really?
Catherine, she's been holding on the IHOP hotline. Hello, Catherine.
Hello. I just wanted to say I love your banter between generations. So skip the Jim Rome show and stay with Bob and Jeff.
Who do you feel like the younger soul is on this show, Catherine?
Well, I know that it is Jeff.
Okay.
Thank you.
He's younger chronologically, but we appreciate you, Catherine. Thank you for listening and And we always enjoy your calls, and thanks for being a fan.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Here's
Catherine.
Here's Jake. Jake has something to offer, we think. Jake?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. How y'all doing today?
We're doing well.
That's good. That's good to hear, man. Just wanted to give a little bit of credit where credit's due. I heard the collegiate coach talking earlier about, you know, he got some pointers and some coaching tips and whatnot from a Riverside tennis coach, Carol Snyder. Let's not forget, though, you know, he talked about Klotzmeyer with the soccer, and Daryl Snyder and Pat Snyder actually own Soccer West, so he should have thrown them right in there with that conversation as well, because without
West, it was a gaping hole in that conversation. No doubt, Jay.
Unforgivable.
Thank you.
Hey, no problem. Y'all have a great day.
Yeah, I can't believe Coach Hawley couldn't mention Soccer West as part of our interview about him going into the Kansas State High School Activities Association Hall of Fame. I almost called him on it. But
thankfully we have Jake.
To those of you at Soccer West, thank you for helping Coach Hawley get into the Hall of Fame.
Sure.
Well, I mean, why not? It's an obvious connection.
Yeah, I think all of us knew and saw that.
And we needed Jake to point it out.
I did not get a text, but I got a Facebook message and an email.
I got two Facebook messages and a text.
Okay. And we got a call. So there's five people who want us.
Who was your Facebook message from?
Benny Dick, our
friend.
What
about your email?
It's my friend I've never met, but he's my friend, Sandy. He emails me about the Guardians, and we have some back and forth about the Guardians.
Is Sandy a Wichitan?
As far as I know.
Well, I mean,
he's listening to the show.
We're happy about that. Congratulations.
Yes.
So we've got at least three people who care.
That's good.
And two who are kind of on the fence.
They call that a groundswell of support. It's a grassroots effort.
I think as word gets out, even more people will not care.
Probably.
That's my guess.
Yeah, well, statistically,
you know,
people, that's
almost certain. Here's what I want you to understand. People have very busy lives.
They say they do.
Christmas season. Lots of things going on. This show is an afterthought to many.
Well, of course.
It's pretty high profile to us.
I wouldn't go that far.
We do. Well, that's because you're not invested in it.
I'm invested in it. I'm just, is it high profile? That's tough.
For me, it is.
All right.
It's, you know, I do League 42. I do this. It all has meaning to me.
It has meaning, yes.
So thank you to Billy and to Ned for reaching out to me.
Sounds like you made those names up, but that's
no,
okay.
No, I didn't. I didn't make them up.
Did Cletus not call?
So now you're knocking Billy and Ned. See, that's why nobody wants you around. Who are your people again?
Oh, they were fantastic.
Who was the emailer?
Sandy, my guy
Sandy.
Sandy? Yeah. He's an older gentleman. He can be named Sandy.
Sandy Duncan?
Maybe.
Nothing wrong with the name Sandy.
Oh, that was
Sandy
funny.
Sandy Koufax?
I'm still reeling from the Cletus bomb I just dropped.
Who's the comedian? Sandy, oh, gosh. Can't think of
There's a Sandra Bernhardt.
That's not Sandy.
I understand, but I don't know who you're thinking of.
There's a comedian out there.
Right
I
now?
I just know it. No, back in the day. It doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter.
Well, you have Sandy Honig.
That's not the one.
Sandy Barron.
No.
I don't think there are many Sandy comedians.
Could be wrong.
Sandy Danto?
No. We're not going to go through every Sandy.
Well, we just did.
Joke.
So I think.
I don't have time for that.
We did. It's over.
That's fine. There's two Monday night games tonight, right?
Yes.
And the Raiders are in one. Ugh. Who cares? Why do you do that, NFL?
Not sure why they put two Monday night games on tonight. Because isn't it the Falcons and the Raiders? Which, yuck. What's the other one?
It's just two bad games. Chicago, Minnesota. I guess you watch that one. But I don't. I'm not watching it.
Nah.
I'm going to watch the Dexter.
Dexter?
Yeah, they got the Dexter's.
Is there more Dexter?
It's what do you call it when it's pre instead of
prequel?
Yeah, prequel. This is about Dexter growing up.
God, do we need more Dexter?
Oh, can't wait. Even my wife's not going to watch this one.
Right, she shouldn't. Didn't we kind of have our fill of Dexter with the sequel part?
I don't think anybody liked that. There's a fan base out here that likes this show.
But I thought the second part of it wasn't that well received.
It did very well.
Oh, bad boy. This is not good.
I'm looking forward to it.
You should watch No Good Deed. I think you'd like that show.
I might. I was underwhelmed by Yellowstone. Underwhelmed's too kind. What's the woman's name, the character?
You're the one who wrote about it. Was it Beth or something?
Beth. Most unlikable character in the history of television. Every time she came on, it's just, I don't think I've ever.
Why'd you continue to watch?
I don't know, because there's elements of it that are good. The scenery is unbelievable, and you watch it for that. And there's a few characters that are tolerable, but she's not one of them.
Unfortunate. Well, I'm glad I didn't put myself through that then.
And they've got a spinoff coming on that show with her and Rip. And I like Rip, except there's no way that guy would let this woman run all over him the way he allows Beth to. I just don't get it.
We all have our characteristics that might surprise others.
And I'm fine with equal say. My goodness, that's how every relationship should be. It should be as much down the middle as possible.
I heard... Rip, control your woman. That's what I heard coming out of your mouth.
I'm not saying that at all, but I'm just saying make a stand, my friend. Stand up for yourself. You're a cowboy. You're a rancher. Come on.
Well, at home, Rip is that persona wears off, I guess.
It's unrealistic. I'm done with. I'm going off the rails here.
Is it just going to be called the Beth and
Taylor Sheridan
show?
Needs to condense things a little bit.
There comes a point of no return, a tipping point for everything.
I can't wait to talk to Mike Furtz.
And Dexter reached it 20 or so years ago.
I feel like Scott Griffiths is my wrestling guy.
Yeah, you would.
There's no question.
Where's he been?
That Mike Furtz is my TV movie guy.
Where's Scott been? Doesn't even come around.
Scott's dropping off the face. There's another guy, very much in the vein of Rip. Let's go. Come to the wrestling pay-per-views.
It'd be nice.
That's what we want. That's all we ask.
So we should call Scott Rip from now on, even though I don't understand the reference and I don't watch the show.
I'm sad that Jeff didn't do his Dexter.
I'm going to kill somebody.
Say that again, Max.
He's
Jeff's
doing
talking
it.
All over you.
No, he's doing what? Dexter. I was sad that he didn't do Dexter, but he just did it.
I should have done Dexter while we were talking about
that. That's just Bob Huggins.
No, it's not.
That's every impersonation you've ever done.
You'll see that I had a rough childhood, which makes me want to kill people now.
That's Bob Huggins as Dexter.
No, this is Bob Huggins.
You can't even do
it's
it.
Different.
It's the same thing.
I drank too much.
See, that's the same thing.
No, you can. People can hear the subtle differences between them.
You watched the first Dexter,
no
right, Bob?
Between them. What's that?
You watched the first Dexter, right, Bob? The original.
Of course, I've watched every episode of every Dexter.
They covered his childhood in the first Dexter. They flashback, and I don't get it. They flashback and everything.
I'm going to give it a shot, see if I like it. And if I like it, I'll hang with it.
This show hopes you like it.
Well,
we can reference it more often.
I like watching shows. So
yeah.
You know that. My entire
life. I do know
life.
That. Quite a while. I can't speak to your entire life.
I like to get an escape into the creativity of others.
It's nothing
that
wrong with
sense.
That. Yeah.
I'm a big fan of creativity.
Clearly.
And then I like to judge whether that creativity works.
Okay. Well, that's called being a fan.
Right. There's no creativity in sports per se. The team's either going to be good or it's not going to be good. Now, that's too much of a blanket statement. There's obviously room for creativity with the athletes. But what I'm saying is the artistic element of
I don't know. You're taking this a little too seriously.
Well, no, this is who I am.
It's a little too. It's a little. Yeah, it's a little much.
Here's what I'll do.
You're not.
I'd like a drink, and then I'd go kill someone. That's Dexter and Bob Huggins.
It is. I mean, you're
stupid.
Right. Isn't that
it's
crazy?
Dumb.
You act like you're an Oscar voter or something. Just watch stuff.
I'm going to yank that guy out of the game, and then after the game, I'm going to take him home and kill him.
Stupid.
That's pretty good. I hope you haven't taken my only.
Max, who does
talent.
The better impersonation?
They both were excellent. That was excellent, Bob.
It sucked.
You hate that? Oh,
well,
my
I
goodness.
Began it. You're just a copycat at this point, like Dexter.
All right. Thank you for listening, everyone. We'll be back here tomorrow. Hope you are as well.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday brings you a new story. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.